read the first 8 verses, or first 7.5 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Holler when you're there. Everybody there? All right. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I hate to be a gong or a cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. Say it with me. Love never fails. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, I'd like to look at the topic that I entitled True Love. And I don't listen to popular music anymore. I haven't in a long time. And I know that there are many, many songs on the popular charts, if you want to call them that, that talk about love. But I'm going to make a statement that most assuredly shows my age, okay? I have no input into the modern things. I only have input from the ancient things, right? Right? So, love songs are always popular because they fill our hearts with joy. Some of them produce wonderful fantasies. And years ago, I'm going to give you these songs. All You Need Is Love. Love, Love Me Do. Those were by the Beatles, in case you didn't know. And one of the most famous ones was Love Me Tender, Love Me True by Mr. Elvis Presley. All these things were in the 60s. Good songs. I thought at the time they were great songs. But what I know for sure is that the music industry's image or understanding of love does not resemble what the Bible's idea of love really is. Love for many today, and maybe for most, suggests a physical pleasure. It involves getting rather than giving. Amen? And usually this so-called love excludes any long-term commitment. It does not involve anything permanent. In contrast, the biblical love reveals God's long-term, steadfast, undeserved love offered to those who believe in Him and His Son and who resolve to keep His commandments. Amen? I was amazed to find out that there are 793 references to love in the Bible, with 144 of those references in the Psalms alone. I was also amazed to find out that this word appears in every book of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 20, verse 13, where Abraham tells Sarah to show her love for him. Sarah was to do so by telling everybody that Abraham was her brother, hoping that no one would kill him because they were desirous of her. Right? So love starts to be mentioned in Genesis 20, 13. And then in the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22, 15, there's the vision of the New Jerusalem with a promise made that those who love evil and falsehood will not be allowed to enter in. Amen? So there's love in every book of the Bible. May not be God's love specifically, but love is mentioned in every book of the Bible. Now, the children of God, referred to as the Hebrews or the Israelites or the Jews, were reminded in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3, that God loved them and had chosen them to be His special people, and He reiterated to them how He had brought them or helped them escape from slavery in Egypt and brought them on their safe journey to a land flowing with milk and honey. In return, the Hebrew children were commanded in Deuteronomy 6, 5, to love God with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their strength. Now in the Gospels, Jesus told the disciples to do likewise, and then He added the words from Leviticus 19:18, and He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen? So love your God with all your heart, with all your mind, your soul, and Jesus then added this other passage, to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, please understand that the words written here are giving us permission, folks. They're giving us permission. They're even encouraging us to love ourselves. Did you hear that? They're giving us permission, even encouraging us to love ourselves. Amen? If we do not love ourselves, how can we possibly love somebody else? We can't do it. Of course, we are not to become conceited over this, narcissistic. We can't allow the devil to enter in here. And so the biblical perspective teaches us that we should appreciate our position as children of God, which means we are saved sinners, members of the body of Christ, and redeemed of the Lord, and also loved by God to the point that we can love ourselves. Amen. That is important today. That is important today, with every influence coming against us, telling us how worthless we are. It is important, folks, that you know that God wants you to be able to love yourself. Come on. Amen. Amen. Now, He loves us so much, not because we are wonderful, but because He is wonderful. Right? God considers us worthy to receive His love, not because of any goodness or merit on our part, but because of the steadfast love on His part. God is love, the Word says, right? So how much does God love us? Well, he just jumps right off in the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16, and He makes this statement, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." That's everybody in the world. For God so loves the world. Everybody in the world. Now, adding to that, the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, Paul said this, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So I want you to notice the words there. Leave that up for just a minute, Pat. Amen. Because of His great love for us. Amen. The slide before that. Because of His great love for us. In the Greek, the word Greek or great means large or abundant or plenteous. So God not only loves us, which is overwhelming by itself, God loves us. He greatly loves us. He abundantly loves us. His love is plenteous toward us. Come on. You getting this? Amen. It is large toward us. That's His love. It's a great love that God has toward His people. Amen. 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 Now, Scripture tells us that we are children of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the apple of God's eye, His own peculiar people, more than a conqueror. So, folks, whenever we feel down and worthless, whenever those things are the attacks come from the devil or we're accused of something, remember first that the devil is the father of lies. He never tells you the truth, right? He lies all the time. You can't believe anything he says. Secondly, when you feel down and worthless, remember that feelings are also deceiving. Just because you feel something doesn't make it so. You step into faith and believe what the Bible says about you. Believe what the Word of God says about you. Your God loves you. He sent His only Son, His sinless Son, His only begotten Son, to take the punishment for your sin, the punishment that you so rightly deserved. God took it away from you. Amen. He took it away from you because He loves you. Amen. So that's my first message this morning. Receive this first message. You are allowed, even encouraged, to love yourself because Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, loves you. He loves you. Amen. You are loved. You are loved. In fact, He knows everything there is to know about you, your highs, your lows. You're good, you're bad, and He loves you regardless. He loves you. In fact, Father God called you, He chose you, He grafted you into His personal family, He's calling you His own. You have been given the keys to the kingdom, the right to call Father God, Abba Father, and you've been anointed and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Oh. Ought to swell up a little bit when you think about what God has done for you. Amen. Amen. God loved you so much that He redeemed you so that you would become part of His royal family. You are royalty. Amen. 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 And folks, you and I will rule and reign with one Christ Jesus in an everlasting kingdom. And you will share in the rule over the nations. And when you leave here, you will go to live in a heavenly home, enjoying the splendor, peace, harmony, joy of a perfectly glorious place that has no end. Wow. Wow. But now, in case you're a little tempted to become vain and conceited about God's most perfect and precious love toward you, I want you to receive my second message. Which is, you are instructed, even commanded, to love your neighbor at least as much as you love yourself and as often. Wow. Wow. The Hebrew word used in the Old Testament, which is translated as love, is hesed, which means a steadfast love or an unfailing love or loyalty, as opposed to a temporary love that we know, or a conditional love, or a passing infatuation. The Bible says that God has hesed for all who belong to Him and upon all who He showers His grace, and just as we have received it and benefit from it, so are we required to show steadfast love and loyalty to those with whom we work, live, play. Amen. The Greek word used in the New Testament, which is translated as love, is charis, which means unmerited or undeserved favor or a gift. And again, according to the words of Jesus, you and I are to pass this love, whether through forgiveness or acceptance, practical help, special gifts, we are to give freely to all. Amen. Freely to all. We do not do this to earn our personal salvation, but to show others that we have received our personal salvation. Amen? The word charis is used in 1 Corinthians 13, which is our text for today, and also in Ephesians 5:25, where Paul said for husbands to charis their wives as much as Christ charised the church. How much did Christ love His church? I don't think it's possible to define or understand or even grasp the depth of Christ's love for His church, but we know that it's enough to die for, and that's a lot. The suffering death of Jesus depicts the epitome of love that Almighty God has for each one of us. Each one of us. Amen? And it conveys a pattern for love that we should have for God and for one another. This pattern. The Jews have various symbols and rituals that they always like to do this man thing on top of the word. But they have these rituals and symbols that can be traced back to the time of Moses. And Jesus was a law-keeping Jew, so he would have followed these things. One is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 8, where it says believers should tie a statement about God's love on their arms and their foreheads. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 9, it says that they should be tied or fixed to the doorpost and gates to show God and to those around them just how much they love God and how much they were prepared to obey Him. Amen? I've got a little door knocker on my front door of the house, you know, for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord, what it says. Many of you have similar things. In fact, I've given those as gifts from time to time to put on your front door. Amen. Jesus followed this protocol, I'm sure. Mary and Joseph decorated the front door to show people that God was important to them. Amen. And I think he was obedient to this word. But I think that what Jesus did, such as mixing with the lepers, healing the lepers, forgiving the woman caught in adultery, amen, even on the cross, instead of crying out some complaint because he was an innocent man, he asked God to forgive those that were responsible for his death. So I believe Jesus showed love in all that he did. Didn't matter if he had it written on his forehead or not, right? Amen? He showed his love. So the challenge this morning for us is twofold. It's twofold. Matthew 27:22-37 through 40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen. Now, how can we show God that we appreciate His love? How can we pass on to others the love that God has so freely given us? How is it possible to share the love of Christ, not only to those who love us, but also to those who hate us and persecute us? How can we do it? The answer must be, we can't. We can't. Even outstanding Christians, such as Mother Teresa, could never come anywhere near the example that Jesus set for us. Can't do it. Romans 3:23 succinctly puts it, we all fall short. We all fall short. So what do we do? Well, the Scriptures teach us that God is love, right? God is love. And this God of love did us a huge favor. In His design to save us, folks, He really did us a huge favor. We've talked about this a number of times. When we accepted Jesus as our Savior, He empowers us with His Holy Spirit, right? Come on now. God is love, okay? He empowers us with His Holy Spirit, which is love, right? Amen? The moment we received Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and made residence within us, making us a new creation. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, listen to what Paul tells us. Because of that, listen to what Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. He says, but the fruit, okay, what's the fruit? It's the evidence or the proof of the Holy Spirit within us, right? But the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Come on. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of the Holy Spirit, is love. Amen? Scripture continues, and it describes other ways that we can recognize that He's living within us today, but we'll focus on love this morning. So what Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 declares is that now that you are a believer, God's love is in you. Can you show this kind of love that Jesus tells us to do?
Yes.
Only with this Holy Spirit, not by yourself, not with our own things. In fact, we are taught self-centeredness all our lives. The world teaches you to be self-centered, take care of you, you're number one, nobody else matters. Right? That's the world's teaching. So if you're going to love somebody, all you know in the basic man is how to take care of me. Love me. So love has to come from somewhere else to counteract all the garbage that the world has put into us. Right? And Jesus, God's plan was to empower you with the Holy Spirit, which is love. Which is love. This love flows out of you, and it will be revealed through the way you treat yourself, as well as the way you live with, walk with, talk with, eat with, and treat everyone else around you.
Amen.
Who is the everyone else in your life? Your spouse, your siblings, your brothers and sisters here at church, your friends, your acquaintances, your co-workers, and even your enemies. I don't want to love them. You're able to because of what God has favored you with. The ability to love. Right? The ability to love. Now, the Gospels record how Jesus showed his love. All through the four Gospels, Jesus walked, showed his love to people. And then Paul gives us a detailed instructions in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to guide us as we imitate and ultimately become like who? Jesus. Like Christ. That's the goal God has. He wants all little Jesuses running around. He wants you to resemble Jesus as much as we can. And his ministry, right? So this morning I want to spend just a few minutes going through 1 Corinthians 13, and I want you to carry out a personal inventory as we go through here. It's fun. It's fun. The only way you will regret this is if you're not doing correctly. I want you to be loving people, right? How do we love people? So here we go, chapter 13. You got your Bibles open? We're going to start with verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. All right, it says, love is patient. Now, I want you to insert Jesus for love, okay? Jesus is patient. I should be like him. Can I say I am patient? Do people see me as patient? Ooh. All right, personal inventory. Next, love is kind, which means Jesus is kind, right? Can I say I am kind? Do people see me as kind? Now, you don't have to openly answer the question. Some of you may be embarrassed if you do that, all right? Love is not envious. Jesus is not envious. Can I say I'm not jealous of others or their possessions or their position? And more importantly, do people see me as not being envious? Wow. Next one says, love does not boast. Love does not boast. Jesus did not boast. Can I say I do not boast? Do people see me as one who brags and boasts? Are y'all out there? I'm trying to do something here today. I'm trying to accomplish something in your life. Right? You're equipped to do these things. The one that doesn't want you to do them, we allow to be in control way too much. Where was I? Boast?
Yes.
All right, the next one is love is not proud. Jesus was not proud. Can I say I am not guilty of pride? Do people regard me as prideful, egotistical. Love is not rude. Jesus was never rude. Can I say I am never rude? Do people see me as ill-mannered? Love is not self-seeking. Jesus was never self-seeking. Can I say I'm not self-seeking? And more importantly, do others see me as self-promoting, caring only for myself? Wednesday night, Elwin was talking about the message he preached, and he preached it to himself too, you know. I preach this to myself. These aren't startling me because I've been through them several times. But folks, there's some room for growth here, isn't there? There's some room for love, right? Love is not easily angered. Jesus was not easily angered. Can I say I never lose my temper? Ooh. Have other people experienced my wrath or my irritation when things don't go my way? Or people don't behave like I want? Sister Pat's got a saying, people are more trouble than anybody. If you're around people, they're not going to do it your way. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus kept no such record. Can I say I do not hold grudges? Do people regard me as an unforgiving grudge bearer? Wow. Love does not delight in evil. Jesus didn't delight in evil. Can I say I get no pleasure out of doing wrong? Do people see me in that way? Love rejoices with the truth. Jesus always told the truth, claimed to be the truth, the way, and the life. Can I say I'm always truthful? And more importantly, do other people regard me as truthful? Love always protects. Jesus always, as the good shepherd, he always protected his sheep. Can I say I'm always protective of those God has given me in my life? Do others see me as one who guards and protects? Love always trusts. Jesus trusts people. This one's really hard. Can I say I'm one who trusts? Do others view me as a trusting person? Two more. Love always hopes. Jesus gave hope to all he encountered. Amen. All he encountered. Can I say I always give hope? Am I optimistic? Do people see me as such? Love always perseveres. Last one. Love always perseveres. Jesus always perseveres. Can I say I am a sticker? Never a giver-upper? Is this how I come across? These are all elements of love that God has placed in you. Brother Jerry, I can't do these things. Yes, you can.
Also part A that you read, love and Jesus never fails.
Jesus never what?
Failed.
And failed. The last, right, the last verse, love never fails, yeah. Jesus never failed, never will. So he was perfect. We'll never be perfect.
But
that's not an excuse, Rosie.
No.
We strive to be like Jesus, folks. We strive to be like Jesus. Amen? And he has equipped us to be like him. He has equipped us to be like him. Why don't you try something when you wake up in the morning? I want you to do this. I want you to say to yourself when you get up, God loves me. He really does. Amen? Amen. Repeat that after me. God loves me. He really does. So when you get up in the morning, I want you to say that over and over every day, you know. And you say it until it sinks in a little bit. You start to believe it. God loves me. He really does. I think that one declaration will do something great for your self-esteem. Knowing somebody loves you. Right? Okay? Then I want you to do something else. I want you to pass on the love of God to someone, just one person. Try to do it every day. Something. To show love to somebody. Amen?
Even if it's my dog.
I don't think your dog counts. But Vern counts. Just one person, one act of love. Just pass those things on. Let somebody else feel great because of the love that's in you, right? The love that's in you that's coming out. Let somebody feel good because of something you did. Wow. Wow. These two simple things can change our day. Can change our day. Declare God's love, then pass it along. I'm not telling you you have to go out the door as a love machine. You may work into that, but one little thing. Guys, how many times you held the door open for your spouse? My wife, she usually doesn't get after me too much, but one day I went in the mail, post office, and I'm in a hurry. And I open the door and I go in, and there's a little lady behind me. And the door just closed in front of her. And my wife is sitting in the car, seeing all this. Now, she shared some love with me about how I just behaved. And folks, I think it's every time I go in that post office, I look to make sure there's nobody behind me that I'm gonna let that door slam. Now, you may have to share a little love with one of your spouses, you know, in that respect, too. But, hey, that came home. That came home. God wants you to be like Jesus. He wants you to care, to give somebody some of His love. That love that's in you is His. He just wants you to share it. Not hoard it. Share it. Right? Now, I want to conclude this morning. I want to finish this with some words that Paul wrote to this slave, Philemon. He said, I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. Because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Okay? I remember you in my prayers. I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Then two verses down, he says this, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Wouldn't that be great for somebody to write that about you? Man, that would be wonderful. Somebody said, you really blessed us. You really helped us. And you standing there knowing that it was the God in you that did it. Because you wanted to kick their shin. Right? But the God in you wanted to bless them. Praise God. And that was such a little thing, Rosa. Everybody here, she prayed for a policeman yesterday. Just a little thing. But she showed the love of Jesus to that man. Amen? Let the love of God flow out, folks. Let it flow out. It's in you to flow out. It's in you to be exposed. It's in you to help the ministry of Jesus Christ. Simple things. Simple things. I'm not asking you to go perform a miracle and feed the 5,000. I'm asking you to do something simple that shares Jesus. If they say, why did you do that? Because of the Jesus in me. That's all you got to say. Most times they won't say anything. They'll just receive. Amen. Can we love? Love our Lord, our God? Amen. I was so pleased with worship this morning. Man, we were really reaching heaven, I thought, with our praise and worship. And God loves that. We're loving God. But folks, we go out that door. And it's pretty easy to love people in here. But first thing going to happen is that waitress is going to mess up your order. Isn't that right? I mean, isn't that life? Can we just show some love? Just let it begin. Just let it flow out. Just let what God has placed in you come out. Hallelujah. Let's stand.